This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. Again, we thank you for tuning us in. Now, if you would like to contact me, you may do so by going to my website or by regular mail. And remember, this website does have this program on it. You can re-listen to it there. And the website does have other information that may be helpful, including a weekly meditation that you might be interested in reading. So if you want those addresses, I'll give them to you at the close of the program. Now, we've been going through the names and titles of the Lord Jesus, and we've noted that they are important because a name in particular involves authority, it involves reputation, it involves character, and in the Bible, names are often prophetic. But we also have descriptions of the Lord that we call titles, and we've been looking at some of those. Last time we looked at the Lord as the judge. But now, today, we want to look at the Lord as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And to do that, I'm going to go back to Revelation chapter 5 and read from verse 1, where we read, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much." That was John, the apostle, that was weeping. "So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.'" Notice then we have the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We know which tribe he came from, and he's the root of David, so we know that his lineage goes back to King David. "So he has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain." Now here's the contrast. We have now this same person appearing as a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. "Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God.'" Some would say a kingdom of priests to our God, "and we shall reign on the earth." Now again, that's Revelation 5 verses 1 through 10. Now we're looking at the Lord as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and the offspring of David, but we're also looking at the Lord as a lamb as it had been slain. Now, I'm looking at the book of the Revelation, and so there's always question as to how much of the book is illustrative. In other words, are these images that we see literal, or are they figurative? Do they speak of something else in a allegorical way? And obviously, the Lord is not an actual lamb as it had been slain in heaven, but that's an allegorical way of seeing him. And there must be something about his the way he appears in heaven to remind us that he was the one who was sacrificed for our sins. But he's also being presented in another way, and that's as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and the offspring of David. And so when we look at the book of the Revelation, there's a lot of differences of opinion as to how to interpret it. But I believe the first chapter, as I've said many times, represents what John saw when the Lord appeared to him, and it was the Lord as a judge. In the Gospels, the Lord had appeared as a man who had clothed his glory as as of a divine person, as of God. In other words, he was God made known in the flesh, but he had veiled that glory. And so we see a man who was humbled and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So that's what we see in the Gospels. But when we come to the book of the Revelation, now this one who died for us at the cross and who has offered himself for over 2,000 years so far as the Savior of sinners, this one is coming back as a judge. And he's going to judge an unbelieving earth, an earth when I say earth, I'm talking about the humanity that is on earth. He's going to judge those who have turned their back upon him. Now, I realize that not everybody is going to be alive at that time, but nationally, there's going to be representatives from every kindred and nation and tribe and tongue. And those who have trusted him out of those nations, I believe, are raptured into heaven at the first part of chapter 4, where John saw a door open in heaven and he was caught up into heaven. And we find that there is, therefore, now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So those that have been raptured, have been saved through the blood of the Lamb, and those who are left behind are going to be experiencing the wrath of God. Now, those who have died, who have rejected him, are already experiencing it eternally in a place where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. They are suffering eternal conscious punishment for having rejected the Lord. But there are nations that are alive, and they, at this point, do not include believers, although during this period of time, there will be many who will turn to the Lord and will believe. But anyway, now the Lord is going to show or exhibit his wrath on an unbelieving world. At the cross, he was there silent. He accepted the punishment that we deserved. He did not answer when he was charged with being a sinner, one who had created some kind of criminal activity by claiming to be the king of the Jews as far as the Gentiles or the Romans were concerned, and claiming to be the Son of God, which was blasphemy as far as the Jews were concerned. So there he suffered punishment that he did not deserve because he was the king of the Jews. He was the Son of God, and those who falsely accused him, he allowed to do that. But now there's a day coming when there's a reckoning coming, and the world is going to face the wrath of the Lamb. Those of us who are saved have been delivered from that. But there are going to be, but the nations on this earth that are unbelieving nations and who represent the attitudes and the traditions of those who have rejected him from the time that he died on the cross till then, they're going to suffer at the hands of God. And so this is perhaps one reason why the Lord tells us that the children are, the iniquity of the fathers is visited unto the children of the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. But he shows mercy to thousands of those that love me and guard my truth or keep my commandments. And so the children are going to represent the attitudes of the fathers. They're going to carry out the attitudes of the father. But now the Lord is going to begin to open seals of judgment. And we aren't going to go through those except to say that when the sixth seal is opened, the rich men, all the people of the earth are going to say to the rocks and to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And so now we see the Lord as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I suppose when we look at a lion, we would have to recognize that that's often seen as the king of beasts. And we know that the lion is, that's how the Lord is seen when he comes to judge. But we also know that while he comes as a lion, there's another person in the Bible that is referred to as one who is like a lion, and that's Satan himself. And so when we look at these lions that are obviously the kings of the beasts, and those that in Proverbs it says a lion is mighty among the beasts and does not turn away from any, we have to ask ourselves, since the Lord and the devil are both pictured that way, who is going to win? But when we look at the Lord, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's what he is. When we look at Satan, if we were to read from 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it would say, be sober, be vigilant, that is, be watchful, because your adversary, the one who stands against you, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But notice, he's just like a roaring lion. The Lord is actually the king of beasts, and Satan would like you to believe that he's the king of beasts, that he's the lion that we need to be afraid of. And so the Lord has appeared as a lamb. He's appeared as a lion. Satan appears as a serpent, a deceitful one. He appears as a devil, a diabolical one. He appears as a lion, one who confronts and tears and ravages and tries to intimidate us. We see these different aspects of these two personalities. Who's going to win? Well, it's quite clear that the Lord wins, and we have to read to the end of the book of the Revelation to realize that the Lord does win this battle. And he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We haven't looked at that title yet. But he comes and he judges the earth for their attitude toward him when he was here the first time. He judges the earth for rejecting him. And yet at that time, at the end of the tribulation period, there will have been many who will have been converted because of the witness of the people, of the 144,000 people who go forth witnessing to the truth that this Christ is in fact the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that is the one who should be reigning. He is the root and the offspring of David, that is, he has the right lineage, he is the Messiah. And frankly, as I go through this, I don't know why anyone would want to meet the wrath of this one who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, when in fact they can, even today, if they understand the truth of Scripture and the judgments that are coming, they can even today shelter themselves in the blood of the Lamb who was slain at Calvary's cross. I hope you're believing the one who tells the truth and not the liar. Believing the truth will save you. Believing Satan, who is the father of lies, will condemn you, and you'll take part in the judgment that was prepared for the devil and his angels. So we have a lamb who wants to save you and a lion who is going to show his power and his judgment on a Christ rejecting earth. Make sure you're covered by the blood of the Lamb, by faith in what he has done for you at the cross of Calvary. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless those who have listened. We thank you for thy love and for thy salvation. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we do thank you for listening.